is Christine Hoover from GraceCoversMe.com, and I want to welcome you to the By Faith podcast. For each week this season, I'm talking to someone who is walking forward by faith, many through difficult circumstances. We're asking the question, how does God meet us in our deepest, darkest pain, and how does He turn that pain into beauty? Today, my guest on the show is Kathy Litton. Kathy is a friend of mine and a mentor to me as well. She's a pastor's wife living in Mobile, Alabama, but she also travels all over the globe encouraging and helping pastors' wives and church planting wives like me. In getting to know Kathy, I've heard her talk about the loss of her first husband and about how she navigated that grief and is still navigating that grief. Because if there is one thing about loss that we know, it's that it doesn't go away, right? I want you to hear her story because not only is Kathy a woman of great faith, but she also talks about grief and loss in a way that we can all relate to, whether we've lost someone we love or life is simply not turning out how we thought it would. How do we face the most difficult things in life and come through on the other side with our faith intact? That's what I wanted Kathy to help us think about. So friends, here is my conversation with Kathy. Hey, Kathy, thanks for joining me today.
Christine, I'm glad to be with you again.
Again. We get to talk a lot when we talk about church planting and pastors' wives. And I would love for you to introduce yourself to my listeners.
Well, I live in Mobile, Alabama, and I'm married to a pastor. I also work for the North America Mission Board, which is part of the Tribe of Southern Baptists, and I am the director of planter spouse care for them in a church planting movement that they have that you and I have lots of conversations about often.
Yes, so. I love getting to talk about church planting with you, but also alongside you a lot. So what does that mean in your day-to-day work? What are you doing as far as spouse care?
Well, we're working on developing planter spouses, and we have assessment and training and coaching, but also we give care in the cities where they're planting, where they just feel supported and they're encouraged. We're able to resource them with certain things along the way, help them to get in a community with other planters' wives nearby. And as you know, we're in a lot of cities where it's very secular and they're very isolated and they need the community with one another.
Well, I think I met you maybe 2012, 2013, when my first book, The Church Planting Wife, came out, and you were a huge supporter of that book and of me. And since then, we've become friends and we've gotten to minister together. I really feel like I've gotten a mentor in you. I love watching you in action because you're a leader. And you know, for me, I don't get to see a lot of women who are leaders in the church and who are teaching and serving other women. I love watching you. And one of the things that, because I've gotten to know you personally, one of the things that I've really learned from you about and have respected you for is your story of losing your husband, your first husband. And so that's what I want to talk to you today about, for listeners to be able to learn about how do we handle grief? That's really the question that all the questions are going to come out of is I want to learn from you, and I want others to learn from you, because I already have learned from you a lot of how do we face the most difficult things in life and come out on the other side with hope and with our faith intact. And so can you just tell us your story? We haven't mentioned other family members. So do you want to tell us some how your family is made up, and then we can go from there?
Okay. Well, I married a preacher boy when I was 19 years old, and we had, he had a calling on his life. He was in ministry early. And so in 1991, we moved to Denver, and he pastored a church in downtown Denver. And as early as 1994, Rick started planting churches out of that existing church, Riverside Church in Denver. And so that's kind of where my passion for church planting came. But we were on a family vacation returning to St. Louis, Missouri, our home to be with family, and we were in a terrible car accident on I-70 in Hayes, Kansas. And I lost my husband, Rick Ferguson, in July 25th, 2002. And so I was just turned 45. My kids were 17 and 18 and 22. And so it was a stunning and devastating loss for us. And it sent me, Christine, on a journey of doubt and fear, and God was acting very unpredictably in my life. And, you know, not that our lives have been perfect, but most of the things that God did made sense. And this was a very confusing time for me. And it thrust me in a journey of grief that I had never, ever, ever experienced before. And, you know, I was so distant from grief at that point. It was shocking to see the reality of it. Now let me press on and say this, for the listeners. I remarried 8 years ago after being alone for 7 years, and I married another pastor who lost his wife in a car accident. So we both share a very unique story that's similar about grief, and our discoveries about grief, you know, are really very similar too.
Mm, that's interesting. Well, first I want to go back to what you said about that. You said God was he was acting very confusing. Is that what you said? I think that was the phrase.
Yeah. Unpredictable.
Unpredictable. Yes. And can you tell me more about what you mean by that?
Well, I guess, you know, if I would look back on my faith during that time, I kind of had a transactional faith. You know what I mean? I do this and God does this and everybody's happy. And so when something appears in your life that, let's just be honest, you feel like you didn't deserve, the transaction's broken now, you see. And so this wasn't what my husband deserved to have a shorter life. This is what my children deserve to lose their dad. It's what happens with people of faith. And so that idea that I had to learn who God really is in a fuller way than that transactional, you know, I do my part, his does it his part, and everything's really a happy story. Mm-hmm. Just the idea of suffering invaded my life and interrupted the plan that I have for my life. I use the word often, I think you've heard me use it, trajectory, that God took my life on a trajectory over veering radically off the path that I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, I think what I really wanted to ask you about is about grief itself. I don't think we often have, as Christians, a theology of death, of grief, even though we are people of the resurrection, which came through death. We don't, it's just not something we like to think about or talk about. And so I would like to hear from you if you could describe what grief looks like, what it feels like, what that time was for you, but also what you learned about how does a Christian grieve?
I think it was a shocking revelation for me to see with my own eyes that people of faith don't handle grief very well. And it makes no sense, Christine. You know, we are people that understand death and the resurrection of death. We should have a robust understanding of what grief is. And yesterday I had a phone call with a woman whose husband took her life 2 months ago yesterday, and listening to her, the shock of what grief is like, how physical it is. And I mean, I remember thinking, I had no idea the physical nature of this thing, that it would just create such heaviness and lethargy. And I couldn't, and I think, you know, I'm a very active person. I could not get out of bed, and that is, there's nothing further from me than that. And so I didn't understand the physical toll it would take. I didn't understand the fatigue that would create in me emotionally. And I love people, but I had just no people energy. The framework of the whole thing is way bigger. And it made me want to go back and apologize to everyone I ever stood next to in loss, because I realized how far I was from understanding what they were actually going through.
Mm. I wish I could know more. I mean, until you've experienced that, I guess you can't know, right?
Well, it's one of those empathy moments. You think you're being empathetic, but it's not till you walk through it do you realize how far you were from really understanding. And it's slightly unfair. I mean, because when we stand next to grievers, in our hearts, we want to help them. But if we've never grieved deeply, we're just a long way from really getting where they are. Mm-hmm.
So what were the most helpful things? What do you know now that you do when you are comforting someone who's grieving?
You say a lot less than you think you hold your tongue and you listen and see where their words go. Yesterday, the woman I was talking to did not need me to talk. She needed me to listen. I don't think I knew that before. She's still processing a very shocking experience in her life. And I will say this too, another thing that's true about grief, many people that have grief are like myself or the woman yesterday. The death came very suddenly, unexpectedly, and tragically far too soon for a family. So the shock is also a part of the grief, that you're so stunned and you're numb. You don't know you're numb because you're hurting in ways you'd never hurt before. But months later, when the numbness wears off, you kind of realize I was numb. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there's any way to prepare for, because I think our church is very young demographically. Mm-hmm. And I find that a lot of our younger people are surprised by suffering or surprised by pain. And I get that. I myself have been surprised by it. But is there any way that we can prepare ourselves or to know that this is something that's a part of life?
I think we have to, the big picture way to prepare is the understanding that life was never meant to satisfy us. Mm-hmm. And that, so when sin and death and disappointment in this life comes, we won't be caught off guard because we understand that's not what this experience was supposed to be on this planet. Mm-hmm. That we understand that this is a broken world, and I, as a person of faith, am not going to escape that brokenness.
Mm-hmm. In my book, I talk about that we think life is summer. You know, summer's warm and it's carefree, and we think it's going to last forever. And then all of a sudden, sometimes we go straight from summer to winter, figuratively. And that's kind of what happened with you, I think. It's just suddenly we're faced with, this is life. Life is winter. And there, not that it's all horrible, but that's what this world is. It's in winter, and we're waiting for that final redemption. And so I think it can be shocking when we go from summer to winter so quickly. But I wouldn't say that's wrong. I mean, that's a natural response, right? We're not saying that shock and grief is wrong. In fact, it's right. It's right. Yeah. And that's what I think, we don't always know how to grieve well. So what would you say to someone who is grieving today? They're grieving a loss of someone that they've loved. And what would you say to them about grief?
I would say that grief is natural. Grief is an intended consequence of losing anything or circumstance or person that you love. Loss is a big, big category. Losing something you love. And so I think it's very natural. And I think the people that try to avoid it, Christine, usually are not healthy and they're not whole, because they have believed something that, and I see this in the Christian context, that somehow people of faith shouldn't grieve because our faith would not permit that, but that's just not true. We grieve. I mean, the Bible says we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve differently, but we still grieve. And so I think the understanding, it's natural. It is not to be avoided. And the lament that we see in the Psalms, we see this emotion, that we see the emotions of life on this planet so freely spoken of. We can't avoid the process. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say what you said about summer, because Rick died in summer. Mm. And you and I have spoken about a song that really spoke to me from Nicole Norderman. And this actually happened, Christine. It just kind of came back in my memory. When fall was coming after Rick died, I remember lamenting that summer was over because the season that I had him was gone. And that's when I heard Nicole Norderman's song, Every Season, which is powerful lyrics that helped me understand that these seasons all have a purpose. And I literally heard that from the summer changing to fall in 2002 when Rick was killed. And my understanding of the seasons started to make sense to me then.
What do you mean by that? That the seasons made sense?
Well, I thought everything was summer. Yeah. And I thought the goal of my life was to live in summer on the ski boat out in the, yeah. you know, I thought that was God's plan, that I would live in summer. And I realized that there is a season in the plan and hand of God.
Hmm. And you've talked some to me before about now that you're 15 years past that day, which right. I'm sure is hard for you to believe sometimes, yeah. that God has shown you things, good things that have come from something that you hated and that you would never have chosen. Can you talk about that some?
You know, this is a good example of how grief and understanding is kind of always evolving in your life. And just very, very recently, I started thinking about the things in my life that I would have missed, my present life, my present circumstances, my present life with Ed, my present life with working with Planters Life, my present life living in Mobile, Alabama, things that I really spent so much time wishing I didn't have. And it hit me one morning recently what I would have missed, the things that I experience now, I would have missed if Rick Ferguson had stayed alive. And that's a very conflicting place yeah. for a widow. But yet God was showing me the purposes he had that I have become to treasure in my life. I begin to treasure the things that God has given me because Rick died. And that was a very powerful moment a quote has come to my mind that from an older writer, and he said, I have thanked you for my roses, but I never thanked you for my thorns. And I found myself thanking God for the thorns, for really in a way I've never done before.
Mm-hmm. I think that's good for me to think about too, that I have not faced the death of someone close to me, but I have things in my present life that I would not have chosen. If I had a choice, I would not have chosen this. And some of that is the cost of following Jesus. It just, right. for all of us as Christians, but then some of it is what he has given me that I can't change. Right. And I think that's really difficult sometimes to say, thank you, God, for this thing. But the reason why I can do that, and I'm just now, I think, in years of processing that, in being able to do that, is because I've learned about God through those things. It's specifically through those things that I have understood him more deeply and more intimately, and that he's complex, that he's not what you said earlier. He's unexpected. And that right. can be scary, but at the same time, it's in these things that I've learned about him and have learned, I think, humility, that he's in control and I am not. So, I mean, would you say that's true for you too, that it's in through this that you learned more about who God is?
Oh, absolutely. And I would say, Ed and I both share this same experience, and it's not something we talk about because it sounds kind of weird. If you haven't suffered, this is going to sound weird. But it was humiliating that Rick died. In the way of this, Christine, that I and he, we didn't have as much control over our lives as we thought yeah. we did. And what it did, it put God back in his rightful place. Mm-hmm. I had a plan. Rick had a plan. We were going to do this thing. But you know what? We didn't have control of our lives. And in the beginning, that was a stinging discovery and hard, and it made me down low. But humility is not a bad thing. Yeah. It puts God in his rightful place, and it puts you in your rightful place. And it's a freeing, it is an actual freeing discovery as you process it.
Well, can we talk about those things in life, kind of what I just mentioned, not just grieving death, but there are things in our lives that we all have that cause us grief, that we cannot change them. But I think even more than death, those are the things that we don't know how to respond to, and we don't think about, we kind of set aside because we don't know how to lament things. We don't know how to say, this is truly a cost for me and I'm going to embrace it. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Absolutely. For instance, when I married Ed, I left the proximity I had to my kids and moved to Mobile, Alabama. And the loss that I incurred by marrying Ed was being more at long distances from my children. And that's just a reality. And there are days, even with that, I can shed a few tears and wishing I was with them. But it's learning to handle those losses and say grief is okay. We talk about those church planters' wives. Some of them sacrifice proximity to their families. They sacrifice safety sometimes. They're living in dangerous places. And I think you've heard me say, it's okay to mourn those losses, to pretend like, try to act like that's deny the loss is not very helpful. But I think even that kind of grief, it may not be like the death of someone you love, but it's a death of something you wanted, and you watch other people enjoy. Mm-hmm. But I think you have to pause and lean into that grief as well, but you have to move on too.
Can you talk about what that would practically look like for us to lament before God with hope?
Well, I think it's being honest about the heartache that it causes and take that to God. And, it sounds silly, but there were times I would just, say to God as a grieving widow, I'm just so sad. And that expression of where I really was sounds kind of infantile in a way, but it's me telling my Father how I feel and where I am. And he doesn't run from that. He doesn't, that is not an expression of faithlessness. That's an expression of intimacy. Mm. And I think for church planters' wives, and we talk about them being far away from family, I just encourage them to, there's nothing wrong with weeping, because of those realities in your life. And if we ever create an idea that Christians can't lament and can't be disappointed with circumstances, then we're just not talking about reality anymore, Christine. Mm-hmm. We're talking about pretending that something doesn't hurt when it does mm-hmm. hurt. And that's not what God's asking us to do.
Yeah.
He's asking us to turn to him for the sufficiency to experience that moment, but we don't have to pretend like it doesn't happen.
Yeah, definitely. I think I've come to more and more this year think about that being a Christian means we can look at reality with wide open eyes. We don't have to hide from it. We don't have to pretend it's not there. We have the hope that speaks to the reality of this world. And we have to know that hope ourselves, but we can also speak it to others. So,
well, you know what? I told this woman I was speaking to yesterday, who's a recent widow, and I told her that when people would ask me, my husband was a very visible pastor in a major city. We had been on television, and so I would run into people a lot, and they would ask me, how are you doing? And I learned to craft this little phrase, I'm kind of hanging on by my fingernails, which was my way to lightly signal to them, I'm struggling and I'm hurting. And I think that in the Christian world, we tend to want the victory lessons. We want the victory testimonies. I heard this said right after Rick died. We want the baby, but we don't like the labor.
Mm.
We like to celebrate the baby. We want the story on the platform after it's all put together and it's beautiful. But way more people are in process than they are delivering the victory baby, if that makes any sense. And I think – we as believers, we have to be patient and empathetic and with people that are in process of their grief or their loss or their sin struggles.
Mm-hmm. And really, in some way, everyone has that thing that they are holding that is painful to them. And it may not be deep grief over the loss of a loved one, but it's something. And so we're all walking by faith, holding this thing or multiple things, waiting for that final day when all of our tears will be wiped away. And I would love to hear from you what, now that you've experienced this traumatic grief and death of your husband, what now, how do you view death and how do you view the final resurrection? Do you think about that all the time? And if so, what does it mean to you?
Well, within days of Rick's death, this quote came into my life. It's from a Puritan writer, and he had lost his spouse. And he said, life will be less sweet and death will be less bitter. Mm. And that is true. You know, Ed and I together understand the phrase, life will be a little less sweet. We've had grandchildren born. We've had so our kids get married. Mm. And in those moments, you wish the father of those children were there. You're, you know, so there's, life is a little less sweet, but death is very much less bitter. The anticipation of the resurrection or even my death looks completely different. Something that I would have thought I wasn't ready for, now I long for. And it's changed my viewpoint of, you know, my life on this planet is real short. It's just a minute. I just read that in Psalms this morning. Man's life is just a breath. Mm-hmm. And so life on this planet is very, very short. But when your life is good, you don't ever want life to end. But now that this, the curse of this planet falls on us more heavily, we understand and appreciate the longing of heaven.
Mm. And that could be one of God's purposes in our suffering that he can use for our benefit is to give us that longing and hope.
Well, I saw how God uses suffering to sanctify us, to literally set us apart from this world. If that's what that term means, then suffering is the thing that sets me apart from thinking this world is awesome.
Right.
You know, and now, is that his purpose? But when we understand the effects of sin, that's what happens. We understand the sin of this planet and the curse of this planet. Then we have the longing for heaven. That's really, so even aging, when I think about aging, cause just, I'm a few days away from turning 61.
Ooh.
So even the aging of our bodies though, Christine, it reduces, you know, even that prepares us for heaven too, and creates a longing for heaven as we diminish and these bodies get frailer, then it's heaven gets sweeter.
Uh-huh. Are there any truths about heaven, any verses, any specific things that you can't wait for? I mean, obviously reuniting with him and seeing him again, but are there any specific truths that stand out to you that might be encouraging to someone else today?
Well, I think the being in the presence of God, I mean, we are walking by faith here. I mean, faith is going to become sight, and everything we've clung to, even if our faith was really, really, really small, and my faith has felt very small on this journey, that God would be main sight and that we would enter a rest. And I love when the Bible talks about that. This rest, it's not just physical rest. It is a rest for our souls that we've never known on this planet. And the effects of sin will be gone and our relationship with God will be just, you know, it'll be made complete.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that day. I know you can't either.
I can't. Yes. I say it all the time. I don't want to sound dark or morose, but I'm like, I'm ready. I'm ready.
Yes. Well, thank you, Kathy. I do appreciate you just as a friend and getting to learn from you in a lot of ways, but watching you, how you've grieved this, you know, and how you talk about Rick and your new husband and your family. I just really learned from you. And I'm thankful that you're willing to share with everyone your story. So thank you so much.
Well, you know, a lot of people with a great faith and had been ahead of me in the grief journey poured into me yesterday when I was speaking to this widow. I just was reminded of the people that were grievers ahead of me. And it does take a community. That's where we need the body. We need people around us. And while there'll be some Christians that kind of disappoint us and they don't get it and they can say unconsciously hurtful things, there are people who understand and stand with you. Mm-hmm. And that's really a sweet part of being in the body of Christ.
Well, thank you for your time, Kathy. I appreciate you.
I love Kathy, and I am so thankful for her life, her work, and her wisdom. I hope you'll connect with Kathy through the links in the show notes and let her know what her words have meant to you as you've listened. Friends, thank you so much for listening to By Faith. If you've been enjoying this podcast, I would love it so much if you shared it with a friend or two and shared the encouragement with them as well. I also hope you'll join me next week as I talk with Sandra Peoples about parenting a child with special needs. It is one of the most honest, heartfelt, and hopeful conversations. And whether or not you have a child with special needs, you'll want to hear what Sandra shares. Until then, friends, have a great day and keep walking forward by faith.